Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with a number 4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. And this is radio program number 71, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Just a few updates here on what's going on with Strength for the Journey radio. That will be available online 24/7 sometime later this month. So I'll talk a little bit more about that as the station is up and running. Tonight I have a guest who is doing a little exploratory visit to Boquete. His name is John, and I met with him today, and I just felt impressed before he left to go back to the States that I needed to have him on the program, because he has quite a story to tell of what God has done with him, and very much similar to how the Lord had us prepare, then had us leave. And so I want to introduce you to John. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew.
Right, okay. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, I'm just amazed at how the Lord has, how he has brought you to this point where you are right now in Boquete at such a time as this for such a purpose. And one of the things that I know very strongly is that the Lord doesn't lead you away from some place without leading you to another. And what I'm realizing that the whole purpose of anybody leaving is to serve, just like when Moses went before Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go that they may serve me." And this is the whole purpose of our leaving, is to serve. And God has a plan and a purpose in that serving. And so I know just from that perspective is that God has a great purpose for your leaving and going, is that he's calling you to a great purpose in front of you, and it requires absolute obedience. And I know that that's where God has your heart right now, is whatever, Lord, you say, I'm willing. And you're here with your wife, and you have a number of children. Tell us a little bit about your background and about you.
Sure. You can tell if you listen for a few minutes, I have a Southern accent. That's a North Carolina and Tennessee accent. My wife and I met in 1990 at a record company in Nashville. And we're 89, married in 90, and have five children. We're both singer-songwriters. We considered ourselves, and still do, musicianaries. We've traveled to 12 countries collectively, including Panama, and all over America and the United States. We had a big change in our ministry and calling in 1999. We had a niece murdered in the Columbine High School shooting. Rachel Scott, Rachel's mother, and my wife are sisters. And actually, Rachel was martyred and not just murdered. And a big change for our family. God called us from the normal ministries that we were doing into public schools, middle schools and high schools, as a way to honor Rachel's life and death. And I won't get into a lot of that right now, but we traveled for the next 7 years, 250 days plus a year with our family on the road, going from state to state to state, school to school to school, amazingly able to share Rachel's faith in the middle of the day in public schools. In 2009, God took us on another journey to northern Indiana to take care of elderly parents. And we had both agreed, and thankfully were equally yoked early in our marriage, that we were going to take care of our parents and not put them in nursing homes. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law had died very quickly of cancer 10 years ago, but my father-in-law had a heart attack in 2009 and needed our help, so we moved up there to take care of him. 2.5 months later, moved my elderly parents from North Carolina there, and jokingly opened the Rochester Daycare Nursing Home Bed and Breakfast Ministry Center. We had 10 people under one roof from, I think at the time, our youngest daughter was 7 and my dad was like 86, and three generations under one roof, the Waltons, and I was John Boy, because my name's John. But something else very dramatic, and that's what I think you and I have been talking about before we got on the air, started happening in 2009 when we moved there. We started having prophetic dreams, and really as a family, and to date, I have had 14 very vivid graphic dreams about destruction coming on America and end times, and our children began, at least three of our children have had amazing prophetic dreams and sometimes repeated dreams like Joseph had and Pharaoh had, which God says, you know, this is a sign that he's doing this and wants you to know. And we began, the Lord gave us a mandate at that time when these dreams started happening that we were Joseph's and that we were to prepare physically and tell people we're not alarmists, we're realists, and this is coming, it's biblical, it's happening. Open your eyes, wake up, and I want you to be ready to help people physically so you can help them spiritually, which, you know, Christ fed people fish and then fed them spiritually. And so I'll throw it back to you. Well, I'll say this and then throw it back to you. So for the last 5.5 years, we fasted and prayed and earnestly sought the Lord and began, in particular, in our town, there are 30 congregations in this town, a small town of about 8,000, and the Lord also gave us a mandate to begin meeting with all the pastors and bringing them together in our home or at restaurants and educating them and sharing with them and doing 1 Corinthians 12, bringing the body of Christ together into unity so that when these things began to happen, the body of Christ could be relevant in our town. And so we worked very hard at that and faithfully at that, at preparing both the body of Christ at large in our city and in ourselves in our own household, putting in wells and wood stoves and chickens in our backyard in the city, and we also, besides the Waltons, we're the Beverly Hillbillies of our town, living in the middle of the town with 15 chickens in our backyard and wood stoves and a well. And but then this changed again. But I'll say this: two of our fathers passed away in the past 2 years in our home peacefully in the Lord, and our children got to witness death in a peaceful Christian way and be there when their grandfathers died. My mother is 90 years young and still very much alive and will be moving here with us to Boquete. And so I got jumped ahead a little bit, and I'll throw this back to you. About in, I'd say, November or December of last year, the Lord said, you're released and you're moving, you're done. You've done everything I've shown you to do, and I'm moving you south. And we were thinking back to Nashville, Tennessee, and the Lord's like, no, we're going a little further south. We're leaving the country and going to Boquete. And interesting, the way I met you before you met me on True News and listening to you, and the Lord used you to help us move along in something that's a big leap of faith. And a big leap of faith, that's all you can say. And I've needed to hear Daniel Daves, and I needed to hear you, and I needed to hear Rick Wiles, and God used that in our lives to move us, and we're here. We're on an exploratory trip and planning to move our children and my mom down here June, July-ish.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, we call these exploratory trips, and in that sense it is, but it's more of a confirmational trip.
Yeah. Or that, Joshua and Caleb spying out the land.
That's right. Hey, this, we're well. This is our home, and that's interesting that once you get here, it's more of a confirmation, you know. God, all I can imagine is there are multitudes of angels in this location directing and divinely coordinating people's lives, and you just happen to run into people here and there, and you think, oh, this can't be anything but God putting these things together, because it just couldn't happen by coincidence.
That's right.
But they're all related to God's purpose, that he's having people come here for a purpose that he's going to work out here. And I know he's doing that probably in many, many places around the world. This is just one of those places that God is doing something. And the main thing that all of us have to focus on is just being obedient to do what God says to do. Because it may be another town. It may be preparations for, you're selling your home. And it's interesting that you've prepared a place for somebody else, but your assignment you have a job transfer, so to speak, and God is moving you to a new location. And I believe that for many, I think it's just he's promoting the obedient right now. And if you've been obedient to do what God says to do, that there's promotion and transfer papers being given to his people. And I know that this, like you were just mentioning a moment ago, we had a big event here at the big gymnasium further up the hill, and we had a fella came here, and he put a gathering, they called it a gathering, of all the churches in Cherokee, the province, and they all gathered in one place to worship and pray and seek God's face and reconcile pastors together and churches together as one body. And I had a vision here in the church, right here where we're making doing this radio program, that there was I saw a hand, like an orchestra leader, tapping a podium, and it was in a white glove, and it was tapping with a orchestra baton. And when I saw this vision, I heard the words. He says, "Attention, everyone, take your places. We're about ready to make some beautiful music together."
Wow.
And I believe what he's trying to say now is that everybody's being put into position. They have worked in their giftings. They have been obedient to do what God's called them to do. Now God is putting them in certain places because they have seats available that has their name on it. And so God is putting them in there. And together, as God is putting all these people together, there's going to be the orchestra leader is going to lead us all into a beautiful, you do music so you can kind of relate to the orchestra of God
and
coming
all
together.
All the pieces coming together, yeah.
Ready to make some beautiful music together. So being in music, it's interesting that the Lord just kind of put that in my heart to share that vision with you, because you're part of the orchestra that God is putting together now, and your obedience has made a way for you. And this is for many people out there right now, is that there's a place, there's a seat that has your name on it, and your obedience will give you your permission slip to sit in that seat. Mm-hmm. And if you don't if you're not obedient, somebody else will take your place, because mm-hmm. the seat will be filled, but the seat will be filled with the obedient. Mm-hmm. And so whatever God is saying to do, I just want to encourage you out there that are listening right now, whatever God says to do, just do it.
Amen.
It's just the words of Jesus' mother at the wedding. You know, whatever he says to do, do it. And this is what he's looking for right now, is obedient people.
And you can expect to have resistance when you begin to obey
Absolutely.
The Lord and do something. And I think this just popped into my heart. We cannot, I know some of you listening right now are in the place that I was in, where it makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't make sense to some of your friends or family. They're going to think you're crazy. And it seems crazy and impractical, which the Bible's full of impractical things. The Lord telling a man to go catch a fish and the money will be in its mouth. The Lord, even on this trip, if there were one word, and there's been many things the Lord's been speaking, but the theme of when Debbie and I got here was, "I've got this." And he said, "You're in that place," and he kept reminding me of the disciples in the boat, and it's storming, and they think they're going to die, and Jesus is sleeping. And he woke up, and they're, "Don't you care we're going to die?" And he goes, "Boys, I've got this. I'm the master of the storm," you know. And so I say to you people listening, you're going to go through three or four steps. If you're listening to this program, I think the Holy Spirit's led you here because he's waking you up and preparing you, as Andrew just said, to get in your position quickly. You're going to go through some denial at first. I just want to go back to my comfort zone. I want to, and in America, that's so easy to do because the cell phones still work, the TV still works, the ATM card still works, you know, for now. And we can just turn off people being beheaded or people earthquake in Nepal, and we can watch Dancing with the Stars. So God wants you to turn that off. He wants you to obey. You're going to go through some denial, but then you're going to realize, then you're going to go through sadness. And then you're going to go through a bit of anger, and then you're going to go through a bit of peace when Jesus said in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the three gospel accounts of the second coming, he said, "Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquake, do not be alarmed. These things have to happen." You'll get to that place where you can finally accept it. And then most recently, and this sounds very harsh what I'm about to say, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "Let the dead bury their dead." And you're going to want to, my wife and I are very mercy motivated. That's our gift set, and we're pastors by heart and nature, and we want to fix everybody and help everybody, and we want to bring everybody and get them to wake up. And there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in the church and even our biological families that are not going to wake up. But if you're listening, you're awake. Don't let them keep you from obeying the Lord. One other thing I'll say before I forget it and throw it back to you: you cannot trust your feelings. You have to hear from the Lord and what he's showing you in his word and what he's confirming to you in dreams. And whether you feel it or not, you have to obey it. And you're going to feel afraid. You're going to feel incapable in yourself, because you are. And this is the beautiful story from the word that the Lord used for me in this case. And I hope you will hear this. Think of Jacob when Joseph's brothers came to him with a torn robe and said, "Your son's been killed by wild animals." If you read the story, it says Jacob began to weep and wail. He continued to weep and wail for days. It says his brothers, the brothers started kind of feeling bad, maybe, or feeling bad for their dad, and tried to get him to eat. He says, "I cannot eat." And they tried to comfort him. The word says in the NIV, "I refuse to be comforted. I will go to the grave mourning the death of my son." Now, you guys, listen to this. Here's a man that was 100% taken over in his emotions and feelings, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, weeping, crying, mourning, and it was 100% based in a lie. And Joseph was completely 100% alive and well, and he was completely going to be reunited with his father down the road. So you cannot trust your feelings. You cannot let your feelings dictate whether you move forward or not. The time now is to move into the position God's showing you, not based on whether it feels right or you feel happy about it or good about it or understand it. If God is showing you to do something and move into this orchestra position, you better get there yesterday.
Yes, that's right. And time is of the essence.
Yes, it is. The door of the ark is closing.
Yes, the door of the ark is closing. The Lord is closing the door. The door is being closed by the Lord.
Yes, it is. I think you and I were talking earlier at lunch, and we threw out a verse that I used to hate, this verse, because it didn't seem godlike or Christ-like. And it's Revelation 22:11 says, "Let the wicked be wicked still, let the filthy be filthy still, and let the righteous be righteous still. Behold, I come quickly." And the point of that verse, and I used to hate it, "God, why would you say that? Why wouldn't you say, let the wicked repent?" Is it because the door's closing, it's coming to end? And can I interject a little more? The Lord was showing me this during this time. He said, "John, you put me back in high school in algebra class with Mrs. Goble at my school in North Carolina, and she gives you a test, and she says, 'John, you've got 30 minutes, or class, you've got 30 minutes to do this test. I'm going to give you a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, and a 1-minute warning. Ready, go.'" Now, during that 30 minutes, I was, you know, whatever, sleeping or cheating or looking at the neighbors or picking my nose, where, excuse my crassness, you know. And then she gave a 10-minute warning, and then she gave a 5-minute warning, and then she hit the bell at one, and I'm still at that point scrambling, trying to finish 3 questions, where she's, "Phillips, put your pencil down. John, put your pencil down now, or I'm going to give you an F." And the dispensation changed, and you had plenty of warning. People, you had 30 minutes. I told you to do something. Think of the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins in Matthew 25. How scriptural is it for you to say no to me? Doesn't the scripture tell you, if I ask for your shirt, to give me your coat? If I ask you to go a mile, go 2. If I slap one cheek, you need to not only give me some oil, you need to give me your lamp too and be a good Christian. No, the dispensation changed. It's over. It's harvest time. Jesus is coming. Yes. It's too late now. I think, I could go on and on. I get worked up. You know, it's too late when the door's closing to go, "Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, knock on the door. Let us in."
I know. This is the sad thing is that, if you're listening right now, I encourage you to go back to listen to radio program number 70, the one we just had, because this is the message that was last week, was that that time is coming, that the end is getting closer, that the decisions that we make will have eternal consequences, and that if you're hearing, it's time to obey. There's many that aren't hearing because they're slumbering. They're in a state of slumber. They would not wake up with gentle nudges, and so the final wake-up call will be very tragic, and it'll be panic and pandemonium when they do wake up, and then the door's shut, so to speak.
And if you think God's just going to take care of you and that we're fearful, tell that to the 5 foolish virgins. If you want an example from Jesus Christ of people that were prepared and people that weren't prepared, there's even a passage in Acts 14 or somewhere. It says Agabus stood up in a meeting and prophesied about a drought that was coming, and it came during the reign of so-and-so, and the disciples took up a offering to help the people in that region when it happened. Why would that be recorded in the New Testament? And you never hear that because it was not some relative story. It's right there in the middle of Scripture, and it's recorded that a man stood up, prophesied about a famine coming, the disciples took up offerings and things and did prepare to do something about it. Yep. They didn't just go, "Oh, God will take care of us." It'll be okay. You don't have any faith. Tell me. Anyway.
They had to act in obedience because of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came, and they knew it was the word. And what I see much in the church today is that much of what people consider a word from the Lord is comforting. It's something that if it's not a comforting word, it's not a word from the Lord. Mm. And just think of if you use that analogy or use that guideline in the words of an Old Testament prophet, or even a New Testament prophet like the one that you just mentioned in Acts, in the book of Acts, that wasn't a comforting word, but they responded to the word of the Lord and they heeded it and they did something. And this is where everybody needs to do something right now. What is God saying? And I've talked about this in other programs, but our learning to hear God's voice is one of the most important things that we can do as a Christian.
Absolutely.
And it starts from that day one that we're birthed into the family of God. He begins to speak to us. And many of the things he tells us as a little baby Christian, don't do this anymore. This is not like me. Or, you know, he starts honing us and starts to refine us and taking that worldly nature out of us as we become. And this is the opportunity we have to listen and obey or reject his voice. And as we continue to walk, as time goes on, whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or 30 years or 10 years, that walk as we go, either our ears become more sensitive to that voice or it becomes hardened because our heart begins to reject those difficult words of the narrow road that he's called us to walk down. And so now here we are in this time frame right now, like a wise virgin or a foolish virgin. I believe that the oil in that lamp could be analogized to truth, that oil is like truth, and that if we filled our oil, our vessel, with truth, as the Lord speaks to us truth, then we'll have light to be able to see when the times turn dark. And if we've been rejecting truth as during this time frame, that we will have no light, because many times the Lord analogizes light in himself as truth. And so just as an analogy that you can kind of picture, fill your lamp with truth right now. Fill as much of it. Take the words that Jesus said. Go into the Bible and just fill your heart with every red letter that he spoke, because those are the words of God. Those are the words to us. And if we will just put ourselves at his feet and say, Lord, speak to me. I want these words to minister to me, that I'll be obedient to follow what you're saying. This is the time right now to listen and obey.
And to get the mixture out and get the darkness out. It's so easy in America, when you and I were talking about that earlier, to turn off the bad news that's the truth. I heard this saying, and I know Rick Wiles has quoted it, and I've heard other people quote it, but it's my favorite quote right now to lay on my friends that aren't quite listening. You can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. You can for a little bit, but eventually it's going to catch you. You know, turn it off and turn Dancing with the Stars back on, or order a pizza, and that's all coming to an end rapidly. And would you rather be prepared now and out of harm's way, or just be waylaid, like Matthew 24:37 says, as in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the second coming. People were eating, drinking, watching Dancing with the Stars, ordering pizza, and the flood came, and they did not know what would happen till the flood came and carried them away. You don't want to be that person.
No.
Turn the noise off.
That's right.
Get the mixture out of your house. Get the noise and Babylon and mixture out of your house. Turn the world off. Stop being entertained by Babylon.
Yeah. Because that entertainment will kill you.
It blind you and deafen you and lead you and your family into being swept away as all this unfolds. And it's unfolding now in America at an unbelievable rate of destruction in every way, in every front, it seems like.
Well, you know, we have about 4 minutes left, but I want to get as much out of you as I can. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You are just, you have such insight, and the Lord's revealed so much to you. But what would you say to people right now? I know you've had a number of dreams that have woken you up. Not everybody's had these prophetic dreams like you've had. But what would you say to them right now that would help them, maybe from what you have heard the Lord say to you, that would help them in their state right now? Maybe they're just now waking up, realizing with seeing the things that are happening around the world and putting the pieces together that maybe things are further along than I thought, and maybe I better get out of bed. What would you recommend that they do with the truth?
Absolutely. I'd say, first of all, be reminded, because I think the devil's greatest tool against us is fear and self-hatred. Dear one listening to my voice and God's voice through us tonight, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together in your mother's womb. You did not think yourself up. God thought you up and put you here. Acts 17:26 says, God made all nations of men from one man, determined the seasons set for them and the exact places where they should live. Psalms 139:16, I just quoted, says, I praise you because I am fearfully, wonderfully made. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God, if you will turn off the noise, as we said a minute ago, and you will separate yourself in prayer and Bible study and quietness, in brokenness before the Lord. Think of Psalms 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. The Lord will not forsake you, dear brother, dear sister, if you will quiet yourself and separate yourself to the Lord and cry out. Think of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. We have no power to face this vast army. We fast and pray, God, oh, we don't know what we're going to do, but we seek you. We quiet ourselves. We humble ourselves. Go out tomorrow and face the army. And I've heard you, and I'll go out before you and defeat the enemy. The Lord will not forsake you, dear brother, sister, if you be quiet and listen. And I remind you that He thought you up. He put you here. You didn't ask to be put here. God put you here for such a time as this. Tag, you're it. And He knows what He wants to do with you, and it's His responsibility to do that as you listen and obey. He's not going to make you figure it out. He's already got it figured out. He just wants you to be quiet and listen. And then as He shows you next step, next step, next step, do it, do it, do it. Not because you feel it like we talked about, but because it's the right thing to do. Obey the Lord. Do the next thing, the next thing. Don't limit God. God's got this. But don't disobey Him and don't run back to the world like Lot's wife.
Yeah, because there is an opportunity that God has in front of each one of us, and obedience. The Lord told me this. He said, obedience is the key that will unlock the door to your future or your destiny. That is the access, the way of access into our God-designed destiny is obedience.
And he faith. Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
You're not going to figure, you don't know what to do. You're listening right now, I don't know what to do. I know you don't. God does.
That's right. And faith really just means trust that leads to obedience. So John, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I just want to encourage you that trust God enough to obey. That's what activates your feet to follow Him, is trust, that I trust you're a good daddy and you're going to lead me where you want me to go. So thanks you so much for joining us on Strength for the Journey.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, John, for being with us, and I'm excited what God's going to do with you here.
And I'm excited about you all listening and what God's going to do in you and is doing.
Yes.
Dear brother, dear sister.
Well, thanks for joining us again. Our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the journey.